T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Everything. Singer, politician. Total fraud, though. Total 100%.
No, stop. That's he's a
Wiggy
musician.
Trying to bail his ass out of prison.
He's
got 22 years
genius.
In prison. And Wiggy's sitting there making excuses for him today. He's a bad guy.
Wait,
he's an
second.
Evil guy.
Hold on, listen, stop with the negative. This is positive Monday.
You think he's
positive
a good
Monday.
Guy?
I haven't watched it. I've watched like 1.5 episodes.
How many people
and
he swindled?
I heard this song, and listen, again, hold on. I have not seen it, okay? I've only watched 1.5 episodes, so I don't know how bad these people are. All I know, the guy's a musical genius. This guy, is, when it comes to cheesy, just classic cheesy songs.
So let me
and
explain.
Then hold on, bro. Wait. Yeah. The video
is cheesier.
What?
So no, it's lip sync.
I did enjoy the video, though.
Lip syncing, but a little late, a little delayed.
He, like,
how much
turns
of this
around.
Have you seen, Lou? How much
I,
of this
you know
have
what?
Seen?
I still haven't seen it.
Really?
No, I haven't
you're
seen
probably,
it.
You're probably a better person.
I read up on
of
it,
that.
And I'll tell you why. Because I don't know, it's different. Because like you guys, you know, you're in the battlefield every day, right? You haven't left home. So I leave home.
Boots on the ground, Lou.
So I leave home, you know, I don't know, 12:15.
40-minute commute.
Get home around quarter 7. So when the weekend, so when I do get home, it's sort of like, you know, I'm home, right? I want to spend some time with some peeps. Then the weekends hit, it's sort of like, listen, you get like 6 hours away from here to go to work. So, you know, you got to do some stuff here. You know, so I'm out there hanging and trying to do some stuff with my kid. When I do have time away from my kid, I'm doing stuff around the house. Like I put a new doorknob, new hinges, new deadbolt on a door downstairs.
Oh,
so I'm just trying to stay busy. And then at night, it's like, you know, I'm still trying to hang with the family and the wife. And I'm not going to hunker down in my room and just watch this movie.
Well, let me just applaud you because your life is probably better off that you have not
but
seen.
But I feel like I need to. Like, I feel like I'm missing out.
No, you're not missing anything.
And then I got, you know, when I do want to settle down and watch it in my living room, I got my granddaughter who's two running around and she wants to watch Bubbles, something Bubbles, cartoons. So I could go and lock myself in my room and watch it, but I just, you know, I distance
this
enough.
Kind of sounds like George Strait. Sounds like George Strait.
Let me just say this. Christian, I don't know how deep you got into it, but one of his husbands, because of course he had more than one husband.
At least three.
Yeah, one of his husbands died. So he was the one to read the eulogy. It might be the most embarrassing speech I have ever heard anybody ever give. It's embarrassing.
Is this the one that shot himself accidentally, kind of? So I've read up a little bit on it.
Yeah.
All right.
But he built a memorial for him.
We know if that was an accident or not.
With like all of his old ATV
or
vehicles or whatever. But let me just throw this out about this show. Because I don't understand it. I don't understand. And maybe it is because of the coronavirus that people are watching the show and they actually think that it's got some redeeming value somewhere. So to me, you got to have at least one person who's not evil. One person has got to be somebody that you can connect with and say, I like that person.
Yes, yeah,
one character. What's that?
It's the Tigers. I saw a tiger.
You're right. The animals are probably, and you feel bad for them in the end. You feel bad for the animals. But this, the one person that I think they present or attempt to, that's supposed to be somewhat likable, is a woman who's supposed to be an animal advocate to take care of these animals. And instead, what she apparently did is she had one of those tigers eat her husband. Kill her husband, eat her husband.
Right,
because she wanted her husband out of her life.
Allegedly. Right?
Allegedly. Okay, allegedly.
Allegedly.
And that, to me, is likable?
Yeah, but don't you like the music?
No.
Again, negative.
No, it's goofy.
Nancy,
you already talked. You said
negatives.
It's goofy.
You want to find the negative in everything. I'm
John finding
Farrell.
A lot of great shows.
The positive.
I am finding.
Christian,
I'm watching every Curb Your Enthusiasm. It is a brilliant show.
Well, I find
phenomenal.
Myself not being able to stop the OJ in America. Like I've sort of
that's been on ESPN. You're right.
Again.
Yeah.
So just to go back to Christian's new infatuation with Joe Exotic, the singer. So in one of these episodes, he actually comes out and he starts talking about how important music is to him. And he's sitting in his car. He drives around. He listens to himself. And this is what it sounds like when he's doing a kind of a cappella.
I use my music as an escape from reality. This is what I do right here, driving around. Listen to myself singing.
This old town. Where I wanna be is where I'm gonna be. I moved up here and I took a chance.
It's not quite the same.
It's not quite the same.
Ain't much left.
This is a cappella. There's no tuner, right? That fixes it.
This is the guy used to
drink.
He sounds like George Strait.
Joe Exotic.
Well, hold on. What?
This, I guarantee
he's got a great producer.
There's going to be some people. There's some country artists like Travis Tritt, some old school redneck, old school country guys, right? That cover these songs and they sell millions. I'm telling you, watch. They're like, I woke up this morning. It's kind of got a little island vibe to it.
No,
put some steel drums in there. I think
most of the country artists are laughing at this guy and saying,
"No, they're
he's
jealous."
A total idiot. By the way,
really,
me,
what,
Ryan,
like,
I don't
their
know
songs are any different. What are they singing about? And instead of singing about a tiger,
songs.
They're
That's
singing about
who's
some
big
girl.
In the country. He can tell you. Some
I watched a little bit of that last night with the wife. Late PBS
what?
Had Garth Brooks. They had a bunch of different artists singing Garth Brooks songs, and he sang. So we just sat there and listened to country music.
Woke up this morning.
My man Lee Bryce showed up.
Yep,
I saw you making fun of it. So you're making fun of country.
Follow my man Lee Bryce on Twitter, and he said, check it out. So I checked it out, and it was nice. We just sort of sat there, a little concert, a little country.
Name drop.
Oh, Lee Bryce, I'm friends. I will say this, Ryan. I don't know if you had the same problem.
I wish I was.
But for the first two episodes, I was trying to figure out how to shut off the closed caption on my TV. Because they had all the words up on the screen. Then I finally realized my closed caption is not on. The reason they're putting the words up on the screen is you can't understand a freaking word Joe Exotic says.
Shocking.
So they have to put the words up there.
I had the same issue. I was like, why is my closed caption? Why is this on? I don't want.
Because you can't understand them.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, that's what it is.
Most people
I
in the country.
What are you
talking about?
Escape from reality. This is what I do right here, driving around.
Jeez, this guy's awful.
Listen to me.
It sounds bizarre. Like Boomhauer from King of the
But they're all bad people. Every single one of them. They're bad people. And they're all, like, you know, sneaks.
Listen,
all,
have you,
you
seen.
Know, trying
have
to
you
take
seen,
advantage of somebody.
Have you seen Narcos? Okay, those are
yes,
all nothing
yes,
but bad people.
Yes.
All right. Bad people.
Right.
Pablo Escobar, all
yeah.
those guys. Right. I mean, so what's the difference? Joe Tiger or
like to have
Tiger
somebody
Talk,
I can,
the hell it is?
I like to
They're
have
killing
somebody,
people, murdering people. That's
like
the show you need to watch.
Like.
You need
Don't
to watch Narcos. Watch Narcos season one and then get back to me and then we can have a discussion. Until then, you're out of my life forever.
Please.
Narcos.
But people are going crazy for this show. That's all people are doing is they're watching this show. I would say don't waste your time, Lou, you know, unless you want to waste your time.
Well,
because it is kind of
don't
you know,
waste your time, Lou, yeah. unless you want to waste your time.
I don't want
time.
To waste my time.
What else does he have to do?
I'm trying to figure some things out here. Let me ask you
concerts.
Something. I want to get your opinion. What do you guys think this is being irresponsible? Just an idea. Okay? And I don't know if it's going to go over so well, but I'm sure a lot of the parents out there are thinking the same thing. At what point do we sit there and designate like another family, maybe friends with your kids, and just say, okay, we're kind of like quarantine coronavirus friends families. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how come will we get to that point? Because my kid needs like one friend. So would it be okay for like him to play with one friend and to us to hang out with one group of parents?
They tell you you're not supposed to do
that. Can you trace their whereabouts?
That you'd have to test them. Right? Everybody has to be tested.
Everybody
first.
Needs to be tested. So in other words, like okay. if you had that one family that your kid was friends with, and it was like, okay, so he can play with that kid, that and that's it. Not like sleepovers, not like 10 friends, just one designated friend. And then that family, obviously, you know, your kids are playing, so maybe that family can come over on a Friday night and you can have dinner and some drinks. And then the next week, can you go over there, a little socializing? Is it off limits if it's just, if it's, you know, 7-8 people, friends, like coronavirus families, kids can play with one kid?
I would co-sign on that, because just thinking of my neighborhood, nobody, there's lots of kids in my neighborhood. Everybody works, but nobody's at work, right? So every now and then somebody will come out. And I know that their kids and they have not been around anybody, because I know this guy's not working, that guy's not working. All the kids going.
See,
on the
I'm
bus
the trouble
together.
Child because I'm coming in here dealing with these guys.
That is a problem, because you know you don't so have no clue what Tyler me. And Ryan are up to. You have right. no idea what happens when they leave.
No, you don't.
And they go
you
into the darkness,
know.
Right?
And mud.
And, like, and mud.
Yeah, mud may be carrying
the
a lot problem. Of diseases.
These are the
they
four people change. I interact with. Joey's pops in here once in a while, too, so I guess it could be up to five at any given
You'd
day.
You'd be ground zero. You would. That's who you would be. You'd be ground
yeah,
zero.
I hate to say it.
I would say, actually, you know, I hope your friends and your neighbors are listening right now, because I think Steph's going to have a problem with you talking about this. Now they're all going to realize that
I'm the problem.
You're a risk.
Well, you're a risk.
From the Merlonies.
But is it
yeah,
bad if your kid
Ooh,
has,
that dad is dirty.
But is it bad if your kid had just one friend that they could play with?
It sounds good, and I understand your plight. You can't
Dogs,
do it according
rocks,
to what they're telling
parents.
Us, right? We're not supposed to do that. But if everybody were tested, I think I would do it if they were all tested and you had one other friend and you tested their family was tested, I might do it. But they're telling us we're not supposed to do stuff like that.
All right. I guess that option's off
And it's
the
a
table.
Real problem, I think. You probably
that
get
That was
it.
A hypothetical,
Christian,
right,
with,
Lou?
With,
yeah.
with high school,
no,
with
is.
High school kids, because the high school kids don't understand this. They want to
no,
mingle.
They do, but I'm actually impressed with how disciplined, at least from what I'm hearing from my kids, how disciplined they are. Nobody's
Speak
going out. Well, I'm just saying, older kids. The younger kids are a little bit harder to wrangle. The younger kids, I mean, they That's obviously, right. the they all love being out of school. They all loved it. This is great. After a week, they all hate it. They hate it. They want to be able to hang out. They want to go to games. They want to interact. And they want to just get in trouble.
But I mean, I want to get them off like Xbox. But, you know, that's one way for him to kind of hang out with his friends, right?
And do get away from you.
No, yeah, he's on there. He's at least hanging out, talking with his friends, playing a game or whatever with them, or two of them, or three of them, or in a group, or whatever. So it's sort of like play dates, and it just gets to the point where, like, you know, we're honest, realistically looking at another month, maybe longer, you know, at least another month, right, May 4th, but who knows? Could be longer than that. And then you go outside and you play, and we're out there playing catch or whatever it might be, football, baseball, and... You know, kids are out in their yard doing the same thing, and it's like you can't, you know, jump on a bike, go for a bike ride with a buddy. I guess, you know, distancing, I guess that might be okay, but it's like this, I don't know, it's getting crazy.
I do like the fact that it's no longer considered rude to ignore people.
Oh, no, that might be the best thing that happens.
It's not, it's
I think
not
people
considered
are friendlier.
Rude to, really? Oh, I don't see that at all. I see people running away. Well, yeah. Maybe it's just me and the way I look.
No, it's not just you.
Maybe it has something to do with the way I look. I went to go to a friend's house the other day, just yesterday, and he stayed at least 50 feet away. And I was like, you can come. The rule is 6 feet. You can come closer. I'm like, dude, I'm going to come give you a hug. Come here. I'm going to give
no,
you a hug.
Yeah, I was just talking more of like, you know, you're out walking in your neighborhood. You know, no one's walking by everybody. You kind of like, you know, they're on one side of the street and you're the other side of the street or whatever. I feel like people are friendlier. Like, hey, how? It's more of a conversation.
Yet they run away from you. So
I
it's,
know. As
it's,
long as you're on one side
rude.
Of the road, they're on the other
that
side
is
of the
considered
road.
Rude.
Running.
You would be the talk of the town. Merlonie always walks on the other side of the sidewalk every time I walk by him. Who does he think he is?
I think that's understandable now, and I think it's responsible, but I still think people are talking more when you're in that environment. You know, normally you might just walk by someone, give them a little head nod. Now I feel like it's, hey, how are you? You know, because
from across the street.
From across
though, right?
the street, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you're
yeah,
seeing yeah. all these videos hugging. Out there where kids are having birthday parties or canceling birthday parties. And so what people are doing in the neighborhood is they're doing like a parade down the street where everybody drives by and they beep the horn and they wave at the kid, right? And that's what they're doing. I mean, you got to come up with some of this other stuff right now. So we can stay friendly, but we have to stay friendly from a distance. Your friend probably that was a little bit of a stretch, 50 feet.
But at
if
least.
Did it, But if he did it at 10 or 12, because I don't know about you, I want a few extra feet because I'm not sure they're right at 6 feet. So I'd like to have 8, 9, or 10 just in case.
Did you guys see this, by the way, what they did down in Virginia just now? So the the governor just ordered a new stay-at-home order, in effect immediately, through June 10th.
Holy crap.
June 10th. Like, again, like, what's wrong with just everybody just sticking with April 30th?
Because every state, it started late at a different date. So in Virginia, they're probably just getting cases here recently. So they're looking at the cycle, and they're saying...
2.5 months.
Yeah. So they're looking at the cycle, and they're saying, we need this much time. So we got it earlier in Massachusetts. New York got it. Seattle got it first here. And then California. So it's going to go at different stretches. I think that's going to be the problem with sports, guys, in that the Florio idea of maybe starting football and putting it out in a pasture somewhere, you know, like in a cornfield or something, may make more sense than anything, even though I don't think that's ever going to happen, because where do you start it up? Some cities are going to sit there and say no. So suppose the commissioner comes out and says, we're starting the National Football League season on the second Sunday in September. Sorry. If I'm Seattle and I still have a problem, or I'm a different city that still has an issue, I'm going to sit there and say, no, you're not. Not in my city, you're not. So the Tampa Bay Bucks, if they have a home game that first weekend, you can go play on the road. You're not playing here. We have a problem in Tampa. Isn't that going to be an issue, different parts of the country, if we're in different phases?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So Virginia shuts down until June 10th. So, I mean, if another city does that, you know, there's no Major League Baseball team there, but then what? You know, then it's like, well, obviously we're not starting June 1st with any of these sports. Realistically, it's probably July anyways, July 1st, but this thing keeps getting, I mean, June 10th, 2.5 months away.
Yeah, but if there's a shutdown, then you got the, and I don't think they're going to be playing baseball by June the 10th, I'm sorry to say, but you've got the Washington Nationals there, so nobody's going to go to their games if they're playing, right? So there's going to be a shutdown. This is it.
Yeah, Nationals, yeah.
We're seeing something we have never, ever seen before. And so we're all trying to do it. And you pointed out, Kevin Paul DuPont apparently had a whole different column the day after he wrote this column about the
NBA.
No,
it wasn't a column. It was just a tweet. So he wrote the article about how he wants hockey to be canceled. And then said, holding out slight hope MLB gets to play 60 or 81 games this season. Let's see where it stands on Memorial Day.
Why Memorial Day?
But I'm just saying. But
maybe,
that's
maybe July, maybe.
But that was the day after he said, cancel everything now. So, yeah, okay, let's wait to Memorial Day, and let's see where we are. Why are we going to cancel everything now?
I think the NBA,
he wants to wait to Memorial Day, which seems more reasonable.
I think the NBA has already said they could play in July and August and maybe even early September, and then they would start their next season next year in December, which some people in that league wanted to do anyway. All right, 617-779-7937. That is our phone number right here on OMF. An hour and 15 minutes from now, Charlie Weiss will join us. It is all part of our Brady week. It's not the last time we're going to be talking about Brady, and we got a lot of our other Brady conversation during today's show. But we're doing it all week thanks to our friends at Sam Adams. They have been extremely generous and restaurant strong, something that Greg Hill has started to help out the people in the restaurant industry, and we'll do all of that coming up at 4:30.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
right, back here on OMF, we continue to distance ourselves as we do this program from three different locations. Obviously, taking health first, and we hope that you're doing the same thing out there, and everybody is distancing, and hopefully we get through all of this mess. A lot of people are sitting at home right now. We'll talk an awful lot about this stuff. Mike Freeman over the weekend, who would you say he's been kind of a pessimist when it comes to whether the National Football League is going to play any games season?
Yes.
Okay. So
yes, he is.
Yesterday, he starts tweeting out that Tony Boselli tested positive. And apparently nobody wanted it out. As I can understand that, it presents a stigma for a lot of people, even though people who, you know, have it it's not necessarily a death sentence. I think we know the percentage is now 80% of the people are going to do fine. 20% are going to be hospitalized. 1% are going to die, usually those that have pre-existing health issues and the elderly. But was it fair for a journalist now to reveal somebody has this virus?
Well, let me read the tweets. He tweeted out, he says, former Pro Bowl Jaguars offensive lineman Tony Boselli was recently admitted to a Jacksonville area hospital due to coronavirus. Then he tweeted, he was initially in the intensive care unit. I'm told he's doing better, but is still receiving treatment. He went on to talk about how his other high-profile players. Then he puts this tweet in there, Christian. I'll get your response to this one. The decision to report Boselli's case was not made lightly and was done after extensive thought and deliberation over the past week. High-profile names can draw more attention to the crisis. So, I don't know. Did he get authority to release that if you're Tony Boselli?
Listen, this is not, Lou Maloney signs 3-year deal. This is not, Glenn Ordway decides to share some of his food with his friends. Like, you know, breaking
that
news.
No,
I know. That's my point. But, no, to me, I think this is, the first thing I thought was like some HIPAA violation, which I don't think it is,
no,
but
it is
who the hell knows, right? I'd be pissed. And I feel like Freeman is just, justifying his release, using the coronavirus as a way to justify his release. Like, high profile people, we got to get all these high profile names out there. We got to get Tom Hanks out there. We got to get, who else is high profile out there?
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant, a lot of the NBA players, Sean Payton, Doris Burks, and other. We got to get all those. So he feels like he's doing a public service. Like he's some sort of angel.
And
if I'm Tony Boselli, if I'm his wife, and I'm his kids, I am pissed at for him not even. Did you check with us? What if we said no? What if he checked with them? And they say, no, don't do it. We want our privacy. And he says, you know what? I need to think about this. Maybe I should go against what their wishes. You know, all this whole deliberation, all this deep thought that he went into, I just feel like it's wrong. If the person wants it known, then go ahead.
Well, this is a little bit different. If you guys remember the story, remember Adam Schefter with JPP when he lost, lost a couple of fingers?
Oh, the 4th of July incident.
But Schefter tweeted out actual medical reports. Right, JPP did go after him. I think they settled. He and ESPN, because actual medical reports were tweeted out by Adam Schefter. Now, this is a little bit different, but when you did,
and it still stings.
When you see that tweet, it's like the decision to report Boselli's case was not made lightly and was done after extensive thought and deliberation over the past week. So he thought about whether he should do it or not. I don't know. In that time, did he talk to anybody in Tony Boselli's family? Did he get the okay to go with this?
Well, yeah, exactly.
About a guy that's in ICU.
Yeah, so wouldn't you? Don't you think if you get some news like that is a little sensitive, that you would call the family first, right? Let's call them first. We had this whole discussion about Kobe Bryant when TMZ found out about it. We were giving them a hard time because we thought they just reported, but no, they reached out to the family, and they told them that they had it. Maybe they released it anyways, but with this. I don't know, guys, how you feel about it. It doesn't feel right for me. I would be.
No, I would agree.
I would like to release it on my own time, with no reporter doing what they think is best. Like, it's not your decision. It isn't your decision to decide what happens with my information, no matter how much good you think you can do. It's a little, if it smells a little bit of grandstanding. I don't know. It just stinks to me.
Well, I think in what we're dealing with right now, the great unknown, there's a stigma that's attached to it. So I saw a doctor the other night on one of the news channels and asked if somebody had tested positive and then they are finally cleared, can I have contact with that person? And they weren't sure yet. It was like they gave an answer that was open-ended, like, we believe you're okay, but then again, and I'm sitting there going, and I heard Marcus Smart over the weekend basically say that he was cleared. Well, if you're one of his teammates, he's cleared right now. Do you feel confident? You've already been tested, and you came up negative.
Yeah.
Are you gonna feel comfortable being in the presence of Marcus Smart when we're dealing with a novel coronavirus that we just simply don't know enough about?
And the other thing, too, the scary thing is like, should Marcus Smart be comfortable? You know, because we don't know if you build immunity to this thing, right? The antibodies and nothing. We don't know if you can get it again, right? Okay. So,
well, how about
well,
this
the
one?
Issue is, the issue is, do you think he was, do you think what Mike Freeman did was right? Do you think he did the right thing?
I think Mike Freeman should have, with permission of the family, do this. But if there was no permission, I don't think that it was really his doing to be, he shouldn't have come out and said this about the guy sitting in an intensive care unit.
He contemplated it.
Well, what do you think, Glenn? Do you think he should have?
No,
I think he's in the right.
I think the problem you have with the media in this instance is they're about distributing the information. So he can hide behind that. Now, personally, because of the stigma it carries, I don't like it. I don't like it. I'm with you. I don't.
Yeah,
like
I feel
it.
I feel like he leaned on that heavily to justify what he was
I'm
doing.
A journalist.
Like, yeah, like I'm a hero. I'm doing the work of the great.
I thought
good.
About this. I didn't do this recklessly. I spent at least a minute and a half contemplating whether I was going to deliver this news or not. I think with the stigma that it carries, it is a real problem. Now he may look at it and say, "I'm a hero," because suppose Tony Boselli was coming into contact with other people. I'm alerting those people. The Boselli has got this.
Yeah, but Boselli can come out with it, you know, when it's time, when it's appropriate, you know. So, Tyler, you know some people down in Jacksonville, right?
I do.
This is well known, but nobody was allowed to talk about it.
This was a local story for weeks that was never reported due to a possible HIPAA violation. So Freeman absolutely did not contact the Bocellis, not once.
So there you go. He shouldn't have done it.
Yeah, but he did.
How long has he had it? How long ago
really
did he test?
And long about it.
Oh yeah.
How long did he test?
He had a tough week, Mike Freeman.
How long ago did he test, Tyler? Do we know?
I believe he tested positive March 22nd. The symptoms showed up March 15th.
Mm.
Wait, March 22nd? Mm. Oh, okay.
Mm. Symptoms on the 15th, he was tested the 22nd positive.
So let me ask you this, because all of these guys that test positive, the celebrities are coming out and they are telling us this. Is that not the responsible thing to do, even though you are going to have that stigma attached to you? People are going to be afraid. They're afraid of anybody right now. You just talked about your friend staying 50 feet away, Christian. Sometimes we like to stay 50 feet away from you. But you imagine, though, you knew about it on March 22nd, and yesterday was March 29th, and a media person had to reveal it. Is he being a little irresponsible?
Glenn, he's in an intensive care unit for a while. I mean, you want him to tweet while he's in intensive care?
Well, his family probably.
Boselli was in ICU last week, so this was not like a yesterday story that just broke over the while ago.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't know. Maybe really, the family sat there and said, listen, they contacted everybody that Tony was around. Maybe they did the responsible thing. There's a lot of stuff you don't know. All you do know is that nobody was reporting on it for certain reasons, and this guy went out there and threw it out. But you know what? Hey. Much deliberation and extensive thought. Like, it took him a while. He was fighting himself over this one before he came up with it.
Mm. So I would say that I don't like it either, but if you're looking at it from a journalist obligation to journalism, he probably had a right to do it. Guy's in intensive care. He's reporting a news story. The guy is really sick. He's in intensive care. Providing he's not lying, providing he's not making it up, providing he's not exaggerating. He has given you facts about somebody who is a celebrity. So he can do it. I you know. If you're looking that he violated some code or whatever, nope. I don't believe you did. All right, 617-779-7937. I don't know if you guys have heard this. Have you heard what college football is planning on doing? So where everybody else is talking about maybe delaying everything, college football is talking about starting a season earlier. What? How does this make any sense at all? We'll get to this. Plus, if you watched Fox yesterday afternoon, you got an opportunity to see the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. And I'm wondering if the Brady people, the Brady side, in this whole situation with the New England Patriots and leaving to go to Tampa Bay, if they are not even more on the Brady side after watching Tom Terrific and the heroics late in that game. We're going to get to all of that and your phone calls at 617-779-7937.
Too wide near side. Edelman in motion. Brady gets the snap, pitches out wide, gets a block, cuts inside. He digs, he turns, he dives. It is a touchdown. It is a touchdown. New England wins. The Patriots have won Super Bowl 51 in the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history, scoring 31 unanswered points. The New England Patriots have won their fifth Super Bowl, and Tom Brady stands alone in NFL history as the only quarterback to win five Super Bowl titles.
Oh, did we need that? I wonder how Fitzy is today, or Thornton, or people like that. They may need some help today. Wow. Fox broadcast that game yesterday. I almost feel bad for Arthur Blank. I didn't realize how many times they actually showed him during the game. Mm-hmm. He and his sweetheart there, and they were all excited in the first half, and then we saw the greatest comeback in the history of a Super Bowl in the playoffs, and watching that again yesterday, I watched every single minute of it because I think I really needed something like that yesterday. It's even more amazing to me that they pulled that thing off. That you look back at it and there were probably 20 plays, both offensively and defensively, that had to work in their column for them to pull that out. If one of them had failed, they would have been done. Dunsky.
Well, I remember actually being down the street watching this game at a friend's house, a Super Bowl party, all these fun things. And at halftime, being like, I can't stay here anymore. I mean, this is embarrassing. I got to go maybe change the mojo a little bit, right? Got to go back to my own house, kind of get prepared for the second half, the greatest comeback in the history. You know, I got to settle in a little bit. And coming home and witnessing this game in my basement. But I remember coming out, and it's funny because you watch this thing again, you remember thinking, even when you watch it a second time, I know everyone feels the same way, you still can't believe they won it.
Yeah.
Like, they came out at halftime and said, okay, here we go. You stopped them, 3-and-out. And then the Patriots go 3-and-out.
Yeah.
And you're like, and then the Falcons come right down to score again to make it 28-3. And you're like, oh, my God, this is a freaking embarrassment.
Yeah,
right?
So I feel like we all need some honesty, right? Okay. I feel like everyone needs to admit, okay, when they thought it was over. Because, and I'm going to start with you, Glenn. At what point in time in that game did you think you were going to have to pull a Marky Mark and just leave the game and try and figure out an excuse, right? When did you think it was over in that game?
By the way, they showed him in the crowd when you watched the replay on the broadcast, the telecast. They had him there.
Yeah, he left early, everybody.
So they got him early in the third quarter. He probably left about a minute or two later after they showed him.
So let's be honest, right? Because it was not going good. So when do you think it was over? Was there a specific time? So
I thought it was over at halftime.
You brought your son.
I did.
And he was bitching and complaining about leaving because he thought it was over too. He's like, why are we staying? Let's get ahead of the traffic, right?
So it's 28-3 when they scored that touchdown at 28-3. He said, and this is the first Super Bowl he's ever been to. And he said, Dad, I can't take this. We got to go back to the hotel. I can't do it. I said, No. You're going to sit there and you're going to play this one out.
You're going to get my money's worth?
Exactly. I said, we paid a fortune for these tickets. Tickets were like ridiculous.
They were hard to get.
Face value, they were like $3,200. It was ridiculous. And so I basically said, you're going to sit there and you're going to maybe not enjoy it, but you're going to. And
you're
then like about 2 minutes later, they made a good play. There was one play they made that was completed pass, or I think to Hogan. And I looked at him and I said, see, Maybe you're going to see a great comeback here, and he like rolled his eyes or whatever. But I was sitting right next to the Brady family. They were right to the left of us, his mom, his dad, Kevin Euclid. And Uke and I were talking about it, and at halftime, he was like rolling his eyes. Now, he's part of the Brady family, and he didn't feel good about it at halftime. I don't see how anybody could, even late in the fourth quarter, when they're down two touchdowns, when they're down by eight. I mean, you thought maybe this was going to be a great effort, but did you really look at it and say, because so much had to happen right, including some penalties that were called against Atlanta.
Yeah, but they kept happening, though. Like, you keep, you know, you said, you know, hey,
but too many,
so
of
many
them
things
had to happen.
I know, but my point to you was like, you sit there and you think, okay, because I kept looking at the clock and I kept looking at the score and I was like, well, you know, not yet, because even though they were scoring, they were still mathematically in it. Right. So even when the Patriots, it's 20, they kick a field goal. They drive 13 plays, 75 yards, and only get a field goal. But then the Falcons, they go three plays and out.
Well, that was the fumble after that field goal.
Yeah, they go minus 15 yards, and then it's a fumble again, so minus 2 yards, and then it's six plays, 45 yards. And if you also look at it, no time is coming off the clock. Yeah. 54 seconds, two minutes, a minute 20. So they were not only were they it's almost like the last 6 minutes of a game was happening in the third quarter, and the Patriots did such a good job of managing it and, like you said, coming up with all these things that had to happen. Like over and over and over again. But so see, yeah. I actually never thought they were out of it.
Yeah, you got to be kidding me. Well, okay, after the Julio Jones catch. Julio
oh,
Jones
right,
catch
that's
on
right.
the
I forgot
sideline.
About that one. Yeah,
you
that
didn't sit
one.
There and say it's Dunsky?
But it was even before.
I hadn't been at the word yet.
Even before that. I mean, it's 21-3 at halftime, and you're sitting there saying, okay, you can come out here, control the second half, and put up 10 points, whatever, score a couple, and get back into the game. And like I said, they go 3-and-out, you go 3-and-out, and then that's when the Falcons come down and make it 28-3. And you're sitting there saying, oh, my God, you're in the middle of the third quarter right now, down 28-3, no chance. But then they teased you a little bit, because even when they came down and scored, if you remember, Gostkowski missed the extra point.
Yep.
And you sat there and said, oh, my God, like they finally scored.
Can't get out of our own way.
And then they kick you in the balls because they miss you an extra point. But then they go 3-and-out, so then the Pats drive right down the field, 1st-and-7. I think it was at this point where I said, you know what, it can't happen. Because it's 1st-and-7, Brady gets sacked twice, and you kick a field goal to make it 28-12. And it's like, God, that can't be a field goal. Like, it's the start of the fourth quarter. It's 1st-and-goal from the 7. You're down 28-9. You can't kick a field goal, but it was 4th-and-15, you know, from the 15. So it was like, okay. And I think at that point, you're like, ah, I mean, you finally had two great drives. You missed an extra point, and you couldn't get 7. You had to take a field goal. And you're thinking, there's no chance. There's under 10 minutes to go in the game. You're down 28-13 or 12. So that was probably the point where I was still holding out hope, but after a missed extra point and you couldn't get 7, you had to settle for a field goal, I said, this thing is done.
Yeah, I will tell you this.
And that's Christian, when the Hightower fumble happens.
So, Christian, you were confident. At halftime, all I could think of is, oh, my God, this Falcon team is too fast for the Patriots. They're too quick. Well, you can see the difference in the speed level of the two teams, and you're sitting there going, oh, my God, they're too fast.
Yeah, but and I agree with you. It's like everything we had talked about the entire week was true, right? We were not just blowing smoke. Like, they were younger, they were faster. And they had a ton of them, right? And they had these weapons that no one could stop. You had no answer for Julio Jones. But it was Muhammad Sanu.
Remember?
Oh, I know, right? How about that? Like, that was about as good as it. That was the height. The crazy thing. I will say this though. Here's what stood out to me. Here's one of those things that stood out to me. Because, you know, work in media, you have to leave the game early, you know, go through this long progression of stairways and tunnels. And everybody who works
in
that.
You?
Well, no, it was funny because you're still thinking that they're going to lose, right? You have no idea. And as you're walking down, all the family members of the Falcons are all screaming. They're like high-fiving, and they're just like all up in your face. So then everything stops because the game goes into overtime. And those same fans that were screaming and yelling and carrying on suddenly had so much doubt. And it was so obvious, like, watching them. And at that point in time, we're like, oh, we've been in this situation before. We already know how it's going to end. And it's not, it wasn't just me. It was like Giardi. It was like, you know, all the Channel 4 guys, Channel 7 guys, you name it. You know, ex-players, Chatham was down there. We're all sitting there watching this game going, they're going to win this freaking game.
Yeah, when it went to overtime and they started moving the ball at will, that's
well, at
when
that
I,
point, I think it that, came.
Right. I felt
but it
confident
was,
at
you
that
know,
point.
Again, the, you know, the missed extra point, the Gostkowski field goal, you're like, really? And then that's when the Falcons drew up, like, what, the seven-step drop from Matt Ryan on third and one?
Yes.
Third and one with 8.5 minutes to go, up 16 on third and one? It
yeah,
was like a 5-7-step drop, and Hightower hit him, and he fumbled. And you said, you've got to be kidding me.
Mm.
And then they scored, 2-point conversion, made it 8. But it wasn't, I mean, you know, I, honestly, after that missed extra point in that field goal, I said, that's it. I mean, they gave it a shot here, but you can't leave points on the board down 28-3, and they did.
Yeah, see, to me, this is one of those things like where, you know, Bill Belichick's, what year is it? Defensive game plan for the Giants is in the Hall of Fame. This, if they had some sort of like, you know, school for football, this would be one of the courses that they would teach, like, you know, as far as mismanaging and managing, right? Just how, like, how it works, how you should do it, what you should not do, all the mistakes that the and I wouldn't necessarily say, well, maybe they did. I mean, because when Arthur Blank came down,
yeah,
I was like, oh no, dude, what are you doing? You are just, it's not over, man. I know you feel like it is. But it's not over. This is a bad look. Stay in your little penthouse up there and watch the game. That was another sign. When you really look back at it, you go, man, there were a lot of signs, but you really couldn't convince yourself it could actually happen.
It's amazing. When you go back and look at that game and the comeback and all of the things that
easily one of the one of the greatest, wouldn't you call it like one of the greatest games ever.
No question.
In Super Bowl history. And I hate when people do these. They put in the Ice Bowl. They put in the Immaculate Reception for the Steelers.
Well, because Lou's right. There were setbacks.
That was a championship game. That was a championship
game.
But
there was so much when you look back at that Atlanta. You talk about the play calling. And, like, the, you know, again, third and one. 5-7-step drop for Matt Ryan when Hightower hit him. So then the Pats come down and score. So you're up 8. And that's when they threw that ball. You're right. That catch by Julio Jones. You know, you're down to the Patriots' 22-yard line.
Phenomenal catch.
And, it, you know, and
look back at that.
And Matt Ryan
throw was all over him. He did everything.
But it's like you're at the 22-yard line. There's like 4 minutes to go in the game. You're up 8, the 22. And he gets sacked and loses 12 yards. And because then there's an offensive holding. He gets pushed back even more. To the Patriots 45, you're out of field goal range.
That had to happen. Think about that.
I mean, yeah, seriously. First and goal, like first and 10 from the Patriots 22, up 8 with 4 minutes to go in the game.
Well, that's what
How
I mean.
How do you not run the ball a couple
things.
Of times and kick a 48-yard field goal and end it?
Yep.
But he gets sacked, and then there's a holding.
They get greedy.
I mean,
they
get holy smokes.
Yeah, they get greedy. They thought they could get
it a couple of times.
Yeah, they thought they could get big numbers at that point. But so many things. And I had forgotten until I saw it in the game yesterday, that missed extra point that Lou was talking about. He's sitting there going, there were actually setbacks for them
when they were making the comeback. If the Seattle Seahawks win where Malcolm Butler intercepted the ball and the Patriots versus Atlanta, if it was another team, if those two games were another team beating, say, Jacksonville beating Seattle, say, the L.A. Rams beating the Falcons. If it's any other team, those are 1-2 in the history of the NFL. Those two games. It just so happens to be that it's the Patriots. They've been to 6 of them. They've all been pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, there hasn't been. The Patriots have not played in a crappy Super Bowl, whether they're winning or losing.
No.
They're all awesome.
They're all
great
tight games.
They're all tight games. They're all back and forth. They all come down to the wire.
Let me get some reaction. Here's Mark in a car. Hey, Mark.
How you doing?
Good, Mark.
So yesterday at 4:46, I was sitting in the chair drinking some tequila, and I saw the banner come across the bottom that they're going to switch to Trump at 5 o'clock.
Yes.
So I called Fox, the main number, Fox 25.
Yes.
A nice girl just like Lucy answered the phone. She goes, yeah, it's network. We have to do it. And I said, listen to me. Here's the deal. And I horrified her for like the next a minute and a half. And then 10 minutes later, they switched the banner to – if you want to see the presser, go to Fox.com or whatever in the app or the app. So they switched it. And then I called her back later to apologize to her. I said, thank you very much. She goes, yeah, we all decided it was the best thing to do. I said, I knew you could do it. I said, people would have been in an uproar on a Sunday during the virus and everything. I said, you would have lost viewers from your newscast, everything would have been done. So the best part of the story is, though, as soon as regulation was over, because remember, Trump was supposed to be out at 5 o'clock. He was usually late a little bit.
Yeah, he came out late. Yeah, 5:37.
He came out right less than 60 seconds after regulation ended when he scored.
He's back there watching the game.
He goes, you know what? Tape the overtime for me. I got to get out there, but I got to save the world.
I thought the same thing.
Look at the replay.
Yeah. And you're right. Fox 25, or they don't call themselves. Do they call themselves Fox 25? What do they call themselves now? Look that up. I think they still call themselves Fox 25.
Yeah, Fox 25.
So they could have opted out of it, yet how about this? The Fox Network stayed with it. Because that feed was coming directly from the Fox Network, right? So they stayed with it, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah, the president looked at the schedule and said,
we need Tom Brady.
And then he waited for the rest of the game to end.
Thanks, here's president. Albert in Rhode Island. Albert, what do you got today?
How's it going, guys? Just a little insight for you.
Yeah,
Atlanta and the Seattle Super Bowls. Yeah, I know.
How about Brady? What a comeback, huh, in that fourth quarter in the overtime, huh, Albert?
Yeah, Glenn, that's awesome, Glenn. Wait till let me talk. That's good. Just not chirping your fat.
He's staying in character.
Okay. Interception against Seattle in the end zone, 3 points. Another interception in the third quarter. 2 turnovers before his masterful fourth quarter. Team allowed him to stay in the game and gave him the opportunity to make a great comeback, which he did. Atlanta, the number 29th ranked pass defense that season, plays like trash for 3.5 quarters, including a pick six. His team gives him the opportunity to suck for that long and still be in a position to win the game. If that's Peyton Manning, if that's John Elway, if that's any other quarterback on any other team, they don't get the opportunity to suck.
28-3. I don't think the team gave him much opportunity.
I can't deal with it.
I know. I can't do it. I can't deal with your negativity, okay? I got enough of it going right now. I watched 28-3, okay? Go screw if you want to take a negative slant to that game.
I mean, come on.
All right? That was one of the greatest comebacks in the Seattle game. One of the best defenses in the history of the league, and he torched them in the fourth quarter. So leave it alone, will you?
Could Brady have been better?
Can't
in the
take
first
you
three
right
quarters?
Now.
Maybe, but he redeemed himself in the fourth. I mean, and come on. I mean, it's.
Yeah, Garoppolo was great for 3.5 quarters and pooped down his leg. Would you rather have? What would you rather have? Which way? Be great and win?
I think I'll take the win.
Or crap down your leg in the fourth quarter and lose.
I want the W. That's what I want, the W. All right, 617-779-7937. Charlie Weiss will join us coming up at 4:30 this afternoon. It's part of our Brady Week. We're all doing it thanks to Samuel Adams and Restaurant Strong and trying to help out the restaurant community. But we'll talk a lot more Brady coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.